This show is brought to you by
6 years old, maybe productions.
Yo, Vault Dwellers, how y'all doing?
Fuck, you threw me so far off. Hi, guys.
You gonna be like the weird brother? That dude was fucking
bitch. Oh, yeah. Well, Wes kind of showed his hand a little bit here, showed our hand a little bit here. But this
episode... I never said I was good at poker.
This episode, we are going to kick off what's going to be a string of episodes where we discuss or we go over, spoiler alerts, the Fallout series that dropped on Amazon last week, right? Last week?
Yeah. So everything... That's it all dropped. About it. Everything dropped on April 10th.
Yeah.
So we figured a series that we both have just genuinely loved and appreciated for so many years, we have to do something on.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I still one of my favorite moments. Now, in hindsight, it's funny because it ended up sucking dick. But one of my fondest memories is when we were watching the one, I think it might have still been E3. I don't remember if it was E3. Or if it was just an Xbox showcase when we first saw about 76 releasing on your birthday.
Yes.
And you fucking stood up and like hulked out. You were like, it's on my fucking birthday!
Dude, I was fucking pumped!
And then it ends up being like the worst Fallout game of all time. When it first dropped.
Yeah,
when it first dropped.
When it first dropped. I mean, look, at the same time, I also played the first like 3 hours like 4 times. Because I had a beta. And then I got accepted twice into playing test runs.
Got it. Got
it. You know what I mean? To go ahead and check the servers. And when they did that, they just gave it to you from the beginning of 76, and you only got to play till X amount.
Yeah. And we'll hit some news after. I got some stuff. We got little things here. But let's just get right into this because, you know, I'm going to start by saying this because I don't want to forget and not say it at the end.
Which is the name of the episode? The End.
Yeah, the first episode is literally called The End, which kind of confusing. I mean, confusing if you don't know what you're looking at. But so after watching the first episode, I have no doubt that the rest of them are going to be just as great, but just how much was true to the game, it just told me, stop making video game movies. Just stop making, just make shows.
TV.
Like, what are the odds that the most, like, critically acclaimed ones that are out right now are all TV shows?
Yeah.
The Witcher gets rave reviews. I've heard great things about Castlevania. Fallout, I'm already loving. The Last of Us, right? It's crazy. And then, meanwhile, you just look at the past movies, and the best you can say about any of them is, if you go, it was okay. That's as good as you're doing.
Yeah.
With the exception of, we'll go the newest Mortal Kombat.
I mean, even that one, I'll say it was okay because I know...
It didn't blow my doors off.
Dude, but. I know hardcore MK fans who weren't necessarily thrilled. And look, that is also... They'll tell you that's also a toxic, very, very toxic environment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I thought it was okay, but at the same time, I didn't have the same, like, in-depth look at it as I do with Fallout.
And this is... Now, I'm super glad because we both love Fallout. Now... That just makes me fear for you and me because our two big things that we know of are movies. Yours is already made, Borderlands.
Yeah, and then
it's
Zelda.
it's still mine, but way more yours than mine. But I am a fan of Borderlands, and then Zelda. We, I think, have confirmed that they're working on a movie.
Yes,
but I don't know. I know they had the animated show back in the day, but I don't know that even though I would love it, I don't know that you turn that. That's one that I feel like just makes more sense as movie.
It depends on where you go from. You know, like
it's so tough. Well, I mean shit, if they did do a show, they could literally pick a game, stick to it, and run through it, and you could do it.
Again.
The Last of Us did it.
Dude, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If they started off with Tears and just worked from the past, bringing your way up with with the first set of Guardians and everything like that.
Like, that's why I'm so shocked that they didn't go the TV route for Borderlands, because it seems like RPGs are like made for TV because you can take so much creative control. All that shit that you do when you're just wandering around as Wasteland or doing whatever you want, if you're not doing a mission, they can turn that into what they want for their plot for that episode.
Exactly.
So like it's made for them. But So anyway, so let's get into this thing. And again, spoiler alert, we do have to give those because
yes,
this is new. But we're just going to do the first episode today.
Yes. But then after that, we are going to jump into at least two episodes every time.
Yeah. Where to start?
How about we start at the absolute beginning? So the beginning of the episode, you get Goggins. I can't remember his first name.
Goggins.
But he plays the ghoul.
I was about to say all I can see is their actual names when they come up on the thing, and his was the ghoul. So,
but he plays essentially as a cowboy. I mean he's like a John Wayne type character.
Yeah, with like a traveling.
Now, what was funny was that they were talking about the reason why he was doing it. You know, those two dads were like, how the hell, because this guy is supposed to be like a major, major movie star.
Yeah.
Right? Like huge celebrity. But then the one guy was like, alimony. Mm-hmm. And it's like, damn.
Yep.
They fucking hit hard. even before you see him for the first time, one of the first things you see is a Mr. Handy.
Yep. Right, as she's walking through the house.
As she's walking through,
and he says something like, I'm ready to help or whatever. He says something like that.
Sounds very Cosworth.
Yes. Very much like it. And everything was of that era when you saw in the game, like the way the TVs looked, the way the...
It's a mix of like futurist, kind of like what modern
it's
is.
Like Jetsons, for it's like Jetsons meets...
apocalyptic.
Basically. And you know, when all the kids are sitting in front of the TV, they're watching Grognak the Barbarian. Yep. They were eating sugar bombs. Eating sugar bombs. So like, dude... Literally in the first, and this is what you love and what you want as a fan of the game, is the first 5 minutes, they just hit you left and right with shit from the game. Game, like shit you noticed, shit you played, shit you probably picked up and had in your inventory at some point.
I mean, we had Nuka-Cola commercial.
Yep.
You saw Nuka Girl as well. You know what I mean? Kind of looked all fucked up.
And the way that it starts was basically like potential impending doom.
We were at 11:59 and 59 seconds on the doomsday clock. Essentially, look at it that way.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of the people wanted the ghoul's character to do a thumbs up. Now, some people were like, why would you want a thumbs up? He didn't want to do that because that's actually a way that you gauge a nuclear explosion.
Yes. So he explains to his daughter. He explains to his daughter that because she asked him, she said, you know, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you want to do the thumbs up? And he said, you know, I was told
with everything happening right now,
I was told, you know, if you see a nuclear blast, if you hold your thumb up, if the blast is smaller than your thumb,
run.
And then she said, you know, well, what if it's bigger than your thumb? And he said, basically, there is nothing you can do. There's nothing you can
do.
Right. So very, very shortly after that happens, she asked for a piece of cake.
Exactly.
She asked for a piece of birthday cake. He said, let me go inside real quick. What I really love, by the way, and this is probably just going to be my nerddom coming out when it comes to movies, I love clever, creative shots in movies. And it was so cool how, like, when he went in, so while they were talking outside and he's saying, you know, can I get a piece of cake? You were seeing that almost as if you were sitting inside the house because they were outside. So you were sitting inside looking outside the glass. And then when he says, I'll go see if I can wrestle a piece of cake, it flips around and you're outside with the girl. But you're not looking into the house. You're looking into the house. And all of a sudden, you just see this bright flash in the window, which was kind of shocking. That I know they were all looking the other way, but the fact that nobody in the house even thought to turn around, like, what the fuck? Like,
I know.
A nuclear flash ain't just like someone took a picture with a fucking camera.
Camera.
Wow. Anyway. And it was so clever how they had that shot because you see the light flash. And then you just see her hold her thumb up.
She did a fantastic job.
So good.
That little girl did so great. And because how she looked scared.
She looked terrified.
Because she looked
genuinely terrified.
And her line.
Your thumb.
It was your thumb or like, dude, that line, I was like, that actually hit me in the chest. Because, I was like, oh no.
Because you can tell after what she just learned, she held up her thumb and was just like,
a lot bigger.
There's no way I'm running.
But yeah, dude, oh my God, that hit me, yo, when she said that. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh no.
And then the dad came out, and then basically it was every man for himself.
The shockwave come out, blew the windows, which is, that's how everybody figured it out.
Yeah, the windows, not a big ass flash.
But they, the fucking windows.
They jump on the horse, take off. You've got residents of the house that went in the in their bunker, wouldn't let other people in.
Nah.
Assholes. But wouldn't let other people in. And then, you know, they take off on horseback, and basically it's as soon as they're going, they pan out.
Shot of LA.
And you just see multiple
yeah.
explosions going off. You just see multiple nukes.
Like yeah, because you saw at least three more pop.
Yeah.
And
at that point you're like, with the first one that you saw, with how far it was and how quick it got there, and as they're going, you see ones even closer
yes.
going off, you know immediately, you're like, they didn't make
it. No.
there's
I mean,
no
look, you do learn something about him towards the end of the episode, but
which we'll get to.
Yeah, we will.
And then, we kind of already tipped that off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because we don't remember seeing.
Yeah. But it is cool how, so we'll get into the first one, because I don't know if every episode is going to be like this, or if it's just the first one to get you introduced to the characters, but it's cool because they almost kind of had like title cards that would pop up.
It was
so
very
the first,
Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, right?
Very Quentin Tarantino.
So then the story picks up and it starts and you meet Lucy.
Yes.
And you know, by like we're saying, you see it just right on the screen, it just says Lucy in big ass letters. And then it, you know, and it starts off with Lucy basically, there's a talk, a deal, whatever you want to call it, between Vault, was
32
it 32 and 33?
Yep.
I couldn't remember if it was the 30s or 20s. So 33 and 32, she was in 33, right?
Yes.
So they were in 33, and basically what was happening is she was going to go and marry somebody from 22 in order to procreate, get the numbers up for...
Because that's what is needed.
That's what's needed. I mean, the human race is...
To save America.
To go ahead and save America, and Vault 32 was getting crops and they say ammo? Crops and ammo? It was two things.
Ammo, and yeah, and then 33 gets a breeder. That's the way they explained them, a fucking breeder. Yeah.
And what a strange situation it was that she pops up in the front, basically like, okay, well, who am I marrying? Because she didn't know.
She was...
What a strange thing. It's like an arranged marriage, basically.
It was.
That's
it
what
was
it
100%
is.
Arranged marriage, yeah. But the way that she was like Stockholmed almost in, you mean almost into it, it kind of felt like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, like being completely game with just marrying somebody you have never met in your life. And then.
And knowing you were going to basically immediately jump into bed with this person.
Yes.
To help, like you said,
save America.
Because you need numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, we can cut through some of the bullshit because, you know, you get introduced to her father, who was so strange to see because I haven't seen that dude since my mother and sister watched Sex in the City. Because he was husband, boyfriend, something of one of the women on Sex in the City. And I saw him a lot. Like, he was a main character for a while. And I have not, whatever happened between that and this, disappeared to me. So you meet her father, you meet a couple other people in Vault 33 who I assume are going to be, characters that are important moving forward. You meet Norm, who's like this little, it's Norm, right? The little, like, tiny,
what, her brother?
Nerdy dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Norm, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure it's Norm.
I feel like it was Norm. You meet Norm, you meet the one dude whose name I forget, but he has a crush on Lucy.
Yeah, her cousin.
Her cousin, yeah.
Into
what a weird line they delivered.
Okay, so...
We're probably not going to get it exactly unless you remember, but I remember as soon as I heard it, I was just like,
"No!"
I was looking down at my phone, and I looked up, and I was like, that was said all too normal.
I will preface this by saying this is 219 years after the bombs fell.
Yes.
So this is...
People have been cooped up in this vault
Generations upon generations,
yes.
like literally a dozen generations.
Yeah, in a vault, no
in
less.
In a vault. So... Some like when you have an urge to handle some business, sometimes you can't handle it with somebody that ain't related.
Yeah, and she basically said, because he basically wanted to be her guy.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
he wanted to be the guy that...
I love you, I want to be with you.
Yeah, like, we can do this together. And she said some version of, you know, messing around with your cousins, you know, fun and all. But then, you know, when it comes to...
Making babies, it can't happen.
Yeah, and I was just like, but the part she said, messing around with your family or with your cousin's fun and all, and I was just like, wow.
Pause.
But then my brain was just like, 219 years, you're in this thing with only so many people.
You need an X amount in order to be able to properly procreate, you know what I mean, generation after generation, to where that you're not getting crossover. of
I mean, procreate, too much genomes. Procreation or not, 219 years, no matter how long I'm in there, I'm jerking off. I'm not. If it's family, jerk off. I'm jerking off. It is what it is. Sorry, America.
Look, it is what it is.
Sorry, America. Wasted kids left and right, but I feel like that's going to end up being.
Wasted the kids
left wasting kids left and right, which could go in multiple different directions. Hopefully someone doesn't think I'm talking about like murdering children, even though technically this just went in a way different direction. We're talking Fallout, and all of a sudden I'm equating.
The marriage happens.
Thank you. Save me from myself.
The marriage happens. Everybody's hanging out in this awesome looking like main area of the vault. They have the projector making it look like a Nebraskan countryside. It looked like it was.
It looks nice,
dude. It looked really nice. Good.
It looked like if you were in that place for too long, you wouldn't know that you were inside.
Nope.
You'd be like, I'm enjoying a nice day outside. Got a nice wedding.
So Lucy makes her way with her new husband,
Monty.
Monty. They go to their new abode.
And let's just say this. He was very direct about wanting to get her up there because he approached her and like they were in the middle of the reception. She was dancing with somebody. And he was just like, so you're going to show me to our room? And I was like, damn, bro, you don't waste no time.
Into which, save America.
Now, honestly, now we're obviously going to get there in the next 30 seconds and talk about just how crazy the reception gets.
More than just the reception.
More than just the reception. But at that point, did you think what we're about to get into, that's where that was going?
I knew something was sketch just because of the way of all the Vault Hunters for 32 look. Because
see, I didn't get that from everybody, but I got her, the I forget her name all of a sudden.
Maldiva.
Maldivar,
yeah.
We're gonna call her an M bitch. She looked evil as fuck right away.
Oh, yeah,
so I was like, I feel like something might be goofy with this lady.
But here's the thing.
I didn't know it was gonna go that.
Like I saw scars and tattoos. And like, dude, and the scars look like something that was not properly medically fixed up.
Yeah.
So that's what said to me, okay, like I didn't know at the time what they were, but I'm like, yo, this is either a really, really fucked up vault or these guys are something else.
So there's a way I want to say this. So they go up in the room and literally before she can even finish showing him the room, and about how excited she is to have Christmas is there and all that stuff. It's just cheeks. His cheeks are out. He's ready to go. He's like, I'm here for one thing and one thing only.
That's dope.
And she obliges. And they handle.
She completely was game.
And they handle their business. And this is what I want to say here before we get into what happens. Because this was the moment where I knew something was off with him. Unless I saw something wrong. After they were done. Because I need you to clarify for me.
Okay.
Did he wipe his dick on the curtain?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not something like a good person normally does. So they're in the room, he gets up, and she noticed too, because she looked like she was looking at him kind of weird. So he gets up, she's laying in bed in all her bliss, and he gets up, and he's just over by the window, and then he just grabs the curtain.
Little PNC, he decides to go ahead and do a little wipe.
Yeah, he's got to, you know, clean the peach. And, and at that moment, I was like, that's a bad guy. Good people don't do that. Those aren't good, even
good people don't put their dick on nice drapes.
No. Drapes. No, I'm not going to get into how much drapes cost. The fuck. Anyway.
He went walking over to the KitchenAid area, you know what I mean, the sink, and then he gets a pitcher of fucking water. First he realizes the water works. That shocked him.
Yeah. Because he played with the faucet for a minute. Like, he played with the handle, like, off, on.
And then he goes ahead and fills the entire pitcher up with water, and he's drinking the water. While all of this is happening, her creepy little brother makes his way into Vault 32.
To see what's up
there. To see what's up, and he sees the crops annihilated, into which they said that there was a blight issue, but that's not
Which makes sense, because that's why Vault 33 thought that they were helping him out by giving them crops and stuff like that. But that was just a big-ass cover.
But then from there, you had
dead people,
multiple dead bodies all over the place,
multiple dead bodies, blood everywhere, crops fucked up.
And that's when shit went sideways.
Yeah, because as soon as he sees that, I'm assuming he set the alarm, right? Because the alarm started going off.
I think so.
An alarm starts going off and she just says one word. Raider.
But before she did that, though, she took her Pip-Boy, pointed it over to him with the Geiger counter.
Oh, yeah, and saw that he was radiating.
It was, dude, it was popping rads. Like lethal.
Yeah, and she was like, you know, you're from up there.
You're from the surface.
You're from the surface. Like, you're not from down here. And then she's like, Raiders. And right away, dude, he just reaches down into his bag, pulls out a fucking dagger, and walks right over, and they start tussling.
Yeah.
She puts up a decent... I'm actually not going to lie. That fight scene, I'm like, okay, I feel like this chick should have been knocked unconscious 14 times. But okay. Because like that first hit, dude, he literally slams her head off the table and then launches her like 10 feet into the stove.
I mean, look. And she busts her head on the thing. Not everything can be realistic, okay? Well,
for sure. She's definitely superhuman. She's Wakanda forever. But
I mean, it was the rads, man.
Had to be. But, you know, so they get to tussling and he stabs her in the stomach. And as soon as he stabs her in the stomach, I thought it was a wrap at that point. But then I was like, wait a minute, I've seen too much of the trailer. She definitely... but she grabs that pitcher that he was drinking out of.
Breaks it.
That was the smart move.
Awesome.
No, actually, didn't she break it on him and then use it again? I don't think she broke it.
You're right.
So she hits him over the head with it, breaks it, and then you just see the part she still has in her hand is just jagged glass. And she just wrecks him across the side of his face. It rips his neck, the side of his face.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a ghoul.
Yeah,
like,
he's fucked up. He's laying on the bed. She's fucking twitching on the ground. And then right away, because they were like, why not? Another beautiful nod for the people that love these Fallout games. She goes right to the first aid kit on the wall. You see a stim pack in there. You see all the other first aid shit. She grabs herself a stim pack. You hear the same sound you hear when you do it in the game.
That was one of the, like, the really, really great things, because it's just, you kept on hearing, like, because everything with the games, you mean, it's always an audio medium, you mean, as well as being a visual. So just certain things were just clicking, like the rad roaches.
Oh yeah.
Like, dude, like the sounds, the, you know, yeah. I mean, shit like that, dude. Like
yeah.
It brought me back immediately.
They did so great.
But then
we don't need to get into detail of every little thing. Basically, as soon as she gets out of that room and she goes out, sees one of her people literally stuck to the wall with a fucking spear or something.
No, it was a machete.
It was a machete.
Yeah,
okay,
and it was the preacher. You know what I mean?
It
was the one that did the ceremony. Whole thing.
Yeah. And then she goes out and it is straight fucking mayhem.
Yep.
Way, not going to lie, actually more violent than I thought it was going to be for some reason.
I had already heard that it was going to be violent. Hob told me the first episode was quite violent. I wasn't quite expecting.
Yeah, you could have told me it was going to be violent, and I probably still would have thought you undersold it.
Yeah.
Because we're talking, if we don't need to even say specific. We just talk some of the death. You've got people getting stabbed and shot in the fucking eye.
Disemboweled. Oh god, yo, the chick with the fork in her eye. And she gets the
gun and just starts spraying people. Yep. These are all people that have been to Wakanda, because they took things that are just like, well, how the fuck are you still alive and shooting people?
Like, it was insane.
Yeah, you got people getting stabbed in the eye while they're still shooting people. Homie, who started this whole fight with her, does end up. They made you think he was dead there.
Well, dude, watching his fucking hand twitching.
Hand's twitching and his whole face was basically cut off.
Yeah.
He gets out there and was about to do work on Lucy, and then her dad tuned him up with a shovel. Tuned his ass up.
And she looked terrified of her dad for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's never seen that side of him ever.
Yeah.
And he was the one that initially moved into that vault. He was part of a different vault,
mm-hmm.
and then he got put into one of these arranged marriages to end up in 33.
Yeah, and he was the overseer there, right?
Yeah, he became the overseer, yeah.
So, basically after the entire... Dude, it was a lot. It was like a 10-minute scene, I feel like,
nuts.
Of nothing but carnage.
Dude, like, it was insane.
Just people getting fucked up left and right.
And of course, the amazing cinematics of when something happened to the projector and you saw the film deteriorating and burning all around the countryside.
And then you just see like the vault come back to being a vault.
Yep.
Because then on the sides you just saw the please wait or whatever that you see that Fallout drops whenever they're about to give us news. I'm like, oh, something's coming.
Yeah, but her she with her dad, they make it towards the exit or towards like where Vault 32 entrance is, because apparently they're connected somehow. That was another thing I thought was very strange.
Did they have connected vaults?
But at the same time, I don't know anything about the California part of Fallout.
Yeah.
So.
It was. It's good to hear that again.
So they go running, and then you have this whole line of people from Vault 33 and then the M-bitch and some of her people with a bomb.
Yeah, and she has the people tranked, I think, right?
No, but she...
Not tranked, but
they
had
they
them...
They had guns on them.
They had guns on them, but didn't they also... I saw some of them look like they had darts sticking out of them.
I mean...
Well, it was probably just from the battle.
I mean, they were probably using syringes.
It was probably just from the battle. But anyway, she's, you know... Yeah, so M-bitch, we're calling her because we're... Can you look up her name? Wes is going to look up her name so we don't keep calling her M-bitch, because we're going to be doing this for a while. So, if I forget anything while you're doing this, just let me know. So, M-bitch, Daddy and Lucy go up in there, and M-bitch has other people from the vault right next to this big-ass bomb. And basically, she looks at Lucy's dad and says, basically, make a choice. It's her, or it's them. It's your daughter, or it's them. And he... It's like he hesitated, but he didn't hesitate. It's like he hesitated for a second to think to himself, is there a way I can get out of this?
Yes.
And then the second he realized he couldn't, it wasn't even a thought. He takes his daughter and he puts her basically in this safe room, locks the door, and says, you're my daughter, it's you, it's always you. And right after he does that, M-bitch tranks him, hits him with three darts to the back.
Moldaver. Her name is Moldaver.
Or was it Moldavar? I forget. No. Moldaver?
Moldaver.
Okay, so Moldaver, that's her name. If it's not actually pronounced Moldaver, it's Wes's fault, because you heard what he just said.
Okay.
Moldaver takes the dad away. And as she's going, she looks at the other ones that she had there that they had the guns on, or like, better basically run. Do what you do best. Run. And they take off and run. It was one of the nail bombs, wasn't it?
It looked like a bottle cap bomb to me.
That's what I meant. A bottle cap. Nail bombs from Last of Us, I think. But anyway. Yeah, bottle cap bomb, because as soon as they got it exploded and you just saw like shrapnel going everywhere.
But they all survived. We learned they all survived.
And before they come back to it later, I think that is where it cut and then we went.
Maximus,
I believe.
Yeah.
Because I do know they come back because you see them cleaning up and stuff like that, which I do want to get to because it's fucking hilarious. But
just drag it. Yeah.
All right. We'll get to it. So then you get
the first look at Maximus.
Fade to black, and you get the next screen that pops up, Maximus. And you know right away we're getting into Brotherhood territory.
Dude, they made that look so good.
Yeah.
They made the BOS looks like, dude, one of the best things about that was all like. One of the great things with this show is that they did so much with practical props.
Yeah.
Actual props.
Yeah, people were walking around in these power armor suits.
Yes. I mean, like, they're made out of, like, styrofoam.
It's not like people are out here walking around in fucking 4,000-pound suits.
Just so nuts.
Especially with how that dude jumped into the fucking vertibird. Right? Like, it was nothing. Other dude had to, like, flop his ass up there, but we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I feel like I talked a lot during the first part, so I'll let you...
Nah, so Maximus is getting his ass kicked by a bunch of the other...
He got a couple licks in.
He did. Now, I can't remember what they were called. They're not, like, apostles. They're not acolytes. I forget what the word was. It was something with an A.
Hold on. God. I got it. You keep talking.
But essentially, that is your... That's your PFC version. For the Brotherhood of Steel. That's your private first class.
Aspirant.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get a whole contingent of Brotherhood of Steel people coming in with T-60 armor, which I'm like, okay.
And it's funny because they notice too, because they see them all walking over, and as they're like, what the fuck are they even doing here? The one dude's just like, what power armor is that? And like, the dude's like, that's the T-60.
He said that shit quick.
Yeah.
He knew his shit.
Yeah.
But one of the other people you meet as well with Maximus is Dane. Now, Dane is also trying to go ahead and... Because the whole point is to try to be a squire. Mm-hmm. A squire is just like it was in medieval times. You work for your lord. Your lord is the person that is in the power armor.
Mm-hmm.
And you go ahead, you carry around their bag, you carry around their stim packs, you make sure they survive, you go ahead. You're a caddy. You're doing all the right, you're doing everything beforehand in order to make sure everything's all right.
You're an administrative assistant.
Pretty much.
That's basically what that is.
And they chose Maximus's friend Dane to become a squire.
Well, somebody didn't like that too much.
I have a feeling.
Do you think it was Maximus?
I think so.
He didn't do the world's greatest job of convincing anybody otherwise when he was being interrogated, but we're also getting a little ahead of ourselves
at the same time, Dane also didn't really, Dane didn't give a fuck.
The reason we say this is because the next morning when they all wake up in the barracks, Dane, as soon as she goes to,
I'm not sure.
I was confused the whole time, and I'm not trying to be out here misgendering people.
Well, the one doing the acting for this is Zila Mendez-Jones.
So she.
I'm honestly not sure. I'm trying to get actual.
We're just going to go with Dane at this point because I don't actually know. And like I said, I'm not trying to be misgendering people. So Dane, when Dane gets out of bed, rolls over. It's going to be impossible without knowing because I keep wanting to say he, she, they, and I don't know which one it is. Wes is trying to give me the homie hookup real quick.
I'm working on it.
You know what?
I mean, I got next to nothing because, it's fucked up because all you get is Dane.
Okay, we'll put it this way. I don't feel that bad because I just went to Google, I typed in is, and I got the D. And the first thing that pops up is Dane a girl in Fallout? So let's see. Behind the scenes, Dane is implied to be non-binary.
That's what I thought because I heard somebody say they.
I didn't hear.
I heard somebody say they when they were talking about, their getting cut.
Okay.
Oh, so Jones is a transgender actor.
I thought so. That's my whole point. But I don't know what. Now I know there. Okay, cool. So anyway, so they all wake up in the barracks. Dane goes to get out of bed. And as soon as they get out of bed, I forget.
Put their boot on.
No, because I thought the boots were already on because then they take the boot off and see it. Yeah, because the razor blade was in the boot.
Yeah, but it was putting the boot on.
Okay. So when Dane
completely thrashed like the Achilles tendon and everything in the back of the foot.
So Dane was going to put their boot on, and as soon as they pulled it up, just this loud scream, and you see all this blood, and they pull it down, and then they show a shot of inside the boot, and you see a razor blade stuck inside, razor blade stuck in the boot. So somebody didn't enjoy that Dane was picked to be
squire.
The damn A name.
Oh yeah, went from aspirant to a squire.
Now Maximus looked pissed when he found out. So basically he gets called in to basically an interrogation.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was, I will tell you what, you have a dude standing or whoever standing behind me in T-60 power armor. I will probably admit to anything. Something I didn't even do
a single fucking thing. And I will admit to
exactly. So he's basically being asked did you do it? Because people seem to think that it was you.
Yeah.
And he didn't do the greatest job.
The assholes from the beginning that were beating him up, all of them said that he was the one that put the blade in Dane's boot.
Yeah.
And he basically said, he told, the knight and the scribe, he told them, no, I didn't do it. But again, he didn't really look all that convincing.
No, he did not look convincing at all. And he even at one point said that he wanted that. He wanted something to happen to where Dane couldn't do it and it could be him.
And then he said, does that make me a bad person?
Or something along
those lines. And the scribe was like, yes.
Or he said, is that bad? Is that wrong?
Is that wrong? There you go.
Yes. He said, outside anywhere else, no. But to a fellow Brotherhood of Steel?
Yes.
Absolutely, that's a problem.
So from this,
still kind of got rewarded.
From all of this and from this insane scene,
you're wrong.
He actually becomes a squire for Felix, I believe it is, for Knight Felix.
And this is where I was talking about. So like you said, you get to carry all the shit. So he's carrying Maximus is carrying this big ass bag, this big ass fucking bag for like you say, it was Felix, and they're hauling ass towards this vertibird and power armor dude just jumps in there no problem. Skips. Yeah, it was a frolic. It straight frolics into the vertebra. Maximus has to jump, hold on, roll over just to get in the damn thing. They take off, and I do believe that's where that part cuts, right? when they take off in that vertibird, and then it goes to Mr. Ghoul? Or the Ghoul? I said Mr.
No, because he was all the way towards the end of the episode.
Then it cuts back to the vault.
It cuts back to the vault with Lucy. So okay, yeah. At that point, this is the other one you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So it's time to clean up after the party and all the shenanigans that have happened.
Yes. And we are going to use the term clean up so loosely because I was laughing my ass off because they're dragging bodies out. And that part didn't even faze me because I'm like, you got to get them out somehow. So they're dragging bodies out. But the part that cracked me up is they're not even cleaning blood off the wall. They were just painting over it.
Yes.
You saw someone painting over the blood and just taking posters that were fine but had blood on them, taking those down, replacing. They probably have a million copies of them.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just put up a different poster. It was so funny. It was so funny watching them clean. And, you know, after the cleaning, they all get together and basically Lucy has the idea. She wants to put a small team together to go out and look for her dad and back.
And she also breaks it down analytically about how they can do it, how far they could go. Like, I mean, how long they could be out and still come back and then everybody will still be okay.
Yeah. And like, and who they can afford to spare because exactly. even with their dwindled numbers, they could afford two farmers, I believe, or something like that. And she was the only one really on board with that plan out there.
Yeah.
Everyone else was kind of like, are you fucking crazy?
Like, why in the world would you do that? And plus it's the surface. You fucking moron. We don't go to the surface.
Yeah, you just saw what happened when people from the surface got to us.
Yes.
Like, and now you want to go out into their world? Craziness. She didn't give a fuck that that's her daddy.
Nope. So she gets her shit together. She talks to her fucking cousin.
Says, I'm doing this. I need to open the door. He, in fairness, he tries to go with her. Probably for all the wrong reasons, but he tries to go with her.
She cleverly tranks him.
She like is shaking. That was good. She's like shaking or holding his hand, and then with her other hand, she just like sticks it under his wrist.
Yep, that was good.
Yep, but she does tell him make sure that he takes care of her little brother.
Yep,
while she's gone, and then you kind of got a version of what I was talking about before we even saw it. When I said, you know, there's certain iconic things that you want to see when you watch a Fallout movie. It's like, what's more iconic when you play a Fallout game than that first time? The vault walking door opens, and it's almost the same thing as when you come out. You know what? This is definitely a Bethesda thing, because you get the same thing in Elder Scrolls games when you first come out from, like, in a dungeon wherever you start the game, and, like, the camera doesn't register everything outside. It's just bright. Yeah. It's your first time out there, and you get that same thing. The vault door opens, and once the bridge retracts, everyone comes out, and they're still trying to stop her. They're like, are you crazy? Like, close the door.
Like an old head was like, you get back here, young lady.
Yeah, and the door opens, she goes, the door's closed, and he just says some shit like, that didn't work, or something.
Back to work.
Or something like that. Yeah, the door opens, you know, she goes out, and I think it faded from her after that and went in, right? Because yeah. I don't think you got to see any of her travel.
No, not in that episode.
You just saw her go out.
I've already watched the second episode, so it's kind of blending.
Yeah, so, well, I appreciate you thus far for not...
I need you to gauge me.
I appreciate you not spoiling anything for me yet, because I have not watched the second episode yet. I only watched the first one.
So you're going to watch the second one because now your wife wants to be a part of this.
I'm going
to
watch part of this watching experience. I believe so.
I also have my wife in this watching experience with me. So, and like...
How did she like the first episode?
She thought it was good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Actually, believe it or not, I actually think my mom and Jeff are going to watch it too.
Nice.
Well, they love the dude that we're about to get into. They love the dude that plays the ghoul.
Walton Goggins. I found his name.
They just got done watching him in something else, like a recent that he did.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, he was, like one of the biggest things that he was in lately was, like, Justified, I think. He was in
That's what they watched.
He was, it was Justified. Like, Walking Tall, the movie with The Rock.
The Rock?
Yeah.
So, much like me only seeing the dude that played her dad in Sex and the City, like, 15 years ago, the only thing I have ever seen that dude in is he played a cop or a sheriff for, I want to say, 7 minutes in House of 1,000 Corpses.
Mm.
Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember that? And I remember how fucked up it was, because that's... We're going to take a quick little, like, minute sidebar. I've said forever that to me, is one of the scariest horror movies out there. Because I believe that there's fucked up people like that out there. I mean, they did get the idea of that off real people. But anyway,
yes.
Do you remember, you're probably just going to remember now that it was him. The scene in the movie where they're in the house, the sheriff goes up and he's about to find out what's going on. And they get him outside and they put him on his knees. And the dude puts the gun to the back of his head.
I don't remember any of that.
So they put the gun to the back of his head, but Rob Zombie is such a good fucking director when it comes to his own shit. The gun's to the back of his head. You hear no sound. There's like no sound, no music. All you hear is like a little bit of the wind whipping around from them being outside. You see the gun to the back of his head, but there's nothing for like 30 seconds. You're just watching the gun to the back of his head. No one's talking, and you're just anticipating what's about to happen. And then he gets his head blown off. It was that guy, the dude that plays the ghoul. That's the only thing I've seen him in. It's like, you're that good of an actor. Bro, I saw you for 7 minutes, and then you got shot.
So, getting back to him, getting back to Walton Goggins, one of the last things we see in the first episode is a group of just...
wanderers.
just wanderers.
We don't quite know what they are, really. Wanderers, and they're wandering up to his residence.
So... They find out that there is a guy that's called the ghoul, living at this place. And the way that they can tell whether a ghoul is feral or not is if the ghoul will go ahead and try to eat the chicken that they brought, the live chicken walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, because a feral ghoul is only thinking about hunger.
Food. Yeah.
Satiating itself. As opposed to a ghoul that actually is still sentient and will actually have a conversation. So the ghoul kills the people, kicks the one back down to into the fucking hole that he was in.
Yeah.
And
one dude got a shotgun.
The fucking chicken and he just goes off.
One dude got a shotgun blast, took his head clean off.
Yes.
Clean off. Yeah. Basically what they came to him for is they wanted him to help with, what were they looking for?
They're trying to find,
something in California. Oh, what's her face?
No. They're trying to find the dude.
I thought they were trying to find the chick. Because didn't they bring up Moldavar?
No.
Or whatever the fuck.
No, so... that's episode 2 stuff. I can't talk with you.
Good, don't.
No, but they... can't remember what the fuck this dude's name is. I gotta try to find him. But he's a scientist who is apparently part of the Enclave.
And,
he escaped.
Yes, and going towards basically the ghoul's neck of the woods.
Yes, and there is a huge reward for catching this guy.
Yeah. And the ghoul, as cool as can be, was more or less like, I don't give a shit what you want. And killed them all.
But I'll take
it. And like you said, rolled off with the chicken. And that was basically the end of the episode. And then you get the, this season on. And they show, a little bit moving forward. We did leave out a hilarious scene, by the way. Or a hilarious part in a scene that, again, just brings you to that Fallout lore with shit that you want to see. And it's during the hellacious however many minutes of... the battle between the Raiders and Vault 33. One of the Raiders gets into a hallway or a room with Lucy's cousin. And he's like, the cousin's like talking kind of big and bad. Like he's about to take this dude on. And then remember the dude shoots up Psycho?
Yep.
The dude takes a big ass shot of Psycho and the cousin's basically like, shit. Oh, no. Yeah, like, oh shit. And luckily, somebody, I think, knocks him into, where the doors would close
and
the doors.
And the cousin falls, and he's the key holder. So when he falls away, the key comes out, and then the vault closes.
Yeah, and basically cuts the dude in half.
Which was awesome.
It was just hilarious. And, think about all of the things that Fallout people want to see that you got in that first episode. Mm-hmm. You got Raiders. You got the vault. You got a bobblehead. You got a stim pack. You got sugar bombs. Grognak. You got a ghoul. You got someone taking Psycho. You got to see the different handmade weapons.
Yeah,
that they were using. People were in that scene. People were out there fucking each other up with, like you said, with forks and shovels and syringers.
It was so good. Now the guy that we're talking about, they're looking for a guy named Walzig. He is played by a actor named Michael Emerson. And
why does my name sound
Michael Emerson? He has been.
Can I see?
Yeah, he's been an actor in fucking everything.
Trying to see what I know him from. I definitely know him from Saw.
He's married to her. Oh shit! He's married to the redhead chick from
True Blood.
True Blood. Yeah. I can't remember what that bitch's name is though.
In True Blood.
But so he was in Lost. He was in a show called Evil. He was in the Saw movies. So I mean, he's been in a million fucking things. He was in the X-Files.
Yeah.
And he is just a fantastic character actor. Just an amazing side guy. And so that's who they're looking for. And not only is that who the ghoul is looking for, that's also who the BOS is looking for.
Yeah, because in part of that scene, they bring up the Enclave and stuff like that, and some of the guys in the Brotherhood of Steel look at each other like, wait, the Enclave's real?
Because essentially, at that point, the Enclave was just it was like a fairy tale. I mean, it was something to scare kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the boogeyman.
But yeah, so that's essentially the first episode. Now, I will go ahead and say I give that a fucking A.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A fucking A.
There's nothing that could have made that episode any better. The story was great. It didn't take a lot to understand what was happening had you never played the game before. If you played the game, you got all the little things you would want to see.
So the best thing in my eyes is that I'm still just loving what I'm seeing from the show for the sole purpose of it is coming from a view that from the game lore that I don't know.
Yeah.
That I don't know anything about the West Coast when it comes down to the Fallout world.
When did you start?
I started playing Fallout 3.
Okay.
So I played 3, New Vegas, 4, 76.
Got it. Okay.
And
yeah, because the first two were PC.
And also all the DLCs. You know what I'm saying? You mean so I got to play like the Anchorage DLC in Fallout 3.
I did every single DLC they had for 3, 4. I did not do DLCs if they had them for New Vegas. I'm sure they did.
Oh, they did. And they were awesome.
I did not.
They were fucking awesome.
I, believe it or not, I don't think I ever even finished New Vegas. I feel like I watched Mike finish.
It is considered one of the best Fallout games to be made.
Oh, I know. I definitely remember playing it because I remember fucking around with the tunnel snakes and there's a lot of pompadours on the strip.
Yeah, that strip was something else. But yeah, man, it was
a great episode.
So great. And I am very, very excited for these next few weeks that we're going to be able to keep on talking about this. I'm really enjoying them.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so you said you had some news.
We do, and we might as well start off just to piggyback right off here that Fallout has already been picked up for season 2.
Boom!
That's fantastic.
Love it. And what we're also going to be getting in season 2. We're going to be getting the most iconic evil thing in the entire game, in the entire game franchise. Deathclaw.
That's what that was.
Oh, I thought that was a super mutant.
No.
Kind of looked like a super mutant.
No, I was flexing, but no. It wasn't. So they got picked up for season 2, which is fucking rad.
And they did such a great job with just the writing, the actors, all of it. Just, I'm not worried about what's going to happen. I'm not.
Me either.
I think that this is going to be such a great ride. And I'm looking at it, again, from a completely different perspective because I don't know shit about all the stuff that's happening over here. So I'm fucking loving this. I'm loving every bit of this.
That's another reason I would want you to watch The Last of Us. So good. So good.
Yeah, and I know nothing about that one either.
Oh, you have minimal.
I have like less than an hour. All I did was the intro thing. I never played post.
So basically you'll have knowledge of the first episode.
Cool.
So the last thing that I have is something I've been excited about for now. When is the first time you heard about this emulator?
Quite literally earlier this week. Because okay. I saw something from IGN on Insta and I was like, oh shit, that's kind of cool.
So I had heard about it for well over a year at this point.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that the one that I was hearing about was going to be this, but I knew that, like, I'd heard that some developer somewhere was working on a legal emulator for mobile phones, for the iPhone.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about I didn't know what systems it was going to be, none of that. I just knew that someone was working towards it. And then I also saw the same article that you saw at the beginning of the week or the beginning of last week or whatever. I don't remember if that article said that it had dropped or it was dropping soon. I don't remember, but
biggest thing I saw on was that it was free.
I didn't even see that because I didn't even read too much into the article. I just saw what it was going to be and I was like, oh, cool. I'll check it out when it drops. And then I was on Twitter today and someone tweeted about it and I was like, oh shit, it's out. Let me check it out because I'm not going to say that. From my knowledge of emulator, from what I've known growing up, there's a lot involved. One, the legality of it, because you are technically, and I'm positive that probably 2% of people actually stick to this, but I'm pretty sure the law stated that if you were to have an emulator on your computer and download ROMs, you had to have also physically purchased that game in order for it to be legal. Like, you're not getting a game you don't actually have.
You already had it, so like just downloading it a different way.
You're downloading a different way, but like, I can go in my closet and I can show you I have Earthworm Jim. Like, I bought it. So that in and of itself is a sketchy thing for some people, because while not everyone gets caught, they always make an example out of somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you can find that person that gets fined $10 million for downloading songs, and we all did it. So the legal part of it, but also there's so much involved, because if you wanted to, you know, if you wanted to get, you had to find a site that first of all was trustworthy, that wasn't going to load up viruses on your computer. Mm-hmm. Then you would have to download the files. Some of them weren't even real files. They were fake files that would either have nothing in them or nothing would download. If you finally found a site that had the right one, you'd have to get it. Then you would have to have another program like WinZip or something like that, because all the files were compressed. You'd have to uncompress them.
You need a zip drive.
All of this fucking different shit. And then you, if you were using a controller, you'd have to go in and map it. Like, there was a lot. So I was like, I'm interested to see how this is going to work, because if it's as good as it can be, game changer as far as iPhones go.
Yeah.
I didn't read to see if it was on Android or anything as well.
I'm not sure. I'll find out.
But I know for a fact it's on iPhone, so I'll deal with that there. It is called, is it Delta?
Yes.
So it's called Delta, and it does, sorry. The Delta game emulator, which has 4.9 stars out of 5 right now, it is an emulator that does supported game systems as of today are Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and Nintendo DS, and it also says, and plenty more to come. So they are working on more. I don't know if it's just going to stick Nintendo, because there are still other Nintendo systems they have that they can get to. Yes. The 3DS, 2DS, shit like that.
GameCube.
Exactly. So I don't know if they're going to do that, or if they're going to branch out to others, you know, Sony and stuff like that. Who knows?
I mean, look, Sega would be a very easy one
but
to get into.
But that's what they have thus far.
Yeah, because I mean, the only actual legal emulator that I know of is the one on the Nintendo...
The Switch.
On the Switch.
And the downside to that one, and it's great, I play plenty of things on there, but the downside is the library. I mean,
there's not a lot. For like they add a little bit, but not always.
Do here and there, but like the Game Boy Advance has like 7 games. The Super Nintendo, I think, and the NES have the most, but they're at like 25 games, 30, something like that. This, you have the right website, which I already do. You literally have every single game that has ever come out for any one of those systems I just mentioned, you can play on your phone. And the coolest thing about it is it actually changes. Wes hasn't messed around with it yet. I'm going to show him something before I leave. It's dope that it actually like changes the handheld based on what system you're playing.
Oh, shit.
So like if you're playing a Super Nintendo game, you'll see what looks like the Super Nintendo controller on the bottom.
Got it.
So that's something that was cool. Something else I was worried about that they put my fears to bed there is you can rotate the phone. I was like, do you have to just hold it vertical or can you rotate it? You can rotate it and it will spread out the controls.
Nice.
So you can still see. Now, when you do the old games, like I was farting around with Pokemon Red,
yep,
you can rotate, but the screen... actually, I don't believe you can rotate. Oh, no, you can, but the screen still stays a little small.
I was about to say, the screen...
There's only
wouldn't...
so much you can do with that.
No.
But, and literally, all you have to do is just go on the website, download... It takes 2 seconds, because I was telling my wife, I was like, how crazy is it that a game like Pokemon Red, which can take you months to beat, depending on how much you play, mm-hmm, can take months to beat, and you have fun the entire time, and it is 370 kilobytes.
What? So fucking tiny.
Right? So, you know, literally, you just have to find a game, download it, save it to your files. You can uncompress it right from your phone. You don't need any other app. Hold on it, uncompress it. And then when you go into the game, you go into the app, you just hit plus, you can hit search the name of the game. It pops right up. And whatever game you have, the second the emulator downloads it in, it's filed under its actual
system.
Under its actual system, and it actually shows the box art.
Yes.
Which is really dope. So like I downloaded and I didn't have
like
to do
anything.
Like
you said, Pokemon Red, but you actually got Charizard on the fucking front.
Yeah, it's like if you went to the store and bought Pokemon Red, it's exactly what you would see. And the cool thing is I didn't have to do any of like the sorting. So if you say the first 3 things you download are SNES games, it'll download it in the top. It'll say SNES. And then you say, fuck it, I want to find a Game Boy Advance game. If you download one, as soon as you download that, it puts it on a completely different page just made for Game Boy Advance games.
Like,
so it automatically sorts everything for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to go down this big list and either sort them yourself or try to find what you're looking for. You can input cheat codes for any games for GameShark or Game Genie. You name the codes, you put the thing in there, and then you just, once you have them all loaded in, just like you would on any of the systems, you just click it on or click it off. The biggest thing that I love that you got with emulators, and you can also do it on the Switch emulators, is the save states. I love those. I've always loved those for certain games. And if you don't use them, like an asshole. But so you can obviously save the game like you normally would. And I tested that to make sure it would work. Like go in, play Pokemon for 5-10 minutes, save the game in the game, exit, come back in and see if my save's still there. And it was. So it still does work, just like if you were actually using the Game Boy. But they have save states where you can save at any point in time without actually saving in the game. You save from the emulator. So say you're playing a game like a Mario game and there's one level that's super hard and you've done the best run you've done so far and you're like halfway through the level or three quarters and you're about to get to a tough part, you can save the state right there at that specific spot and just keep, like say you're having a trouble timing a jump and you just reload from that same spot every time until you get
okay.
it. So it's dope that you can do that. Or, you know, say you want to, you know, we'll go back to the Pokemon thing. Once you get to the Elite Four, if I remember correctly, especially in the OG games, it might even be in the new ones too. Once you start the Elite Four, like you can save right before, but you can't save after each member.
Yeah.
With the save states, you can. You could save in the middle of a battle and pick it right back up. If you're like, I don't like that move I used. That's what I said. If you don't use it, it's like an asshole.
Baldur's Gate, because Baldur's Gate 3 is the exact same way.
Like you can absolutely, and I'm sure people do, like save you can spam. Absolutely. And use it basically as a cheat, which that to me is like a dick move because the whole point of like Pokemon games and certain games is to use strategy. If you use me, like, ah, fuck, that wasn't the right move. Let me just reload and use a different move. I mean, do what you do. To each their own. That's not the way I do. But to
that makes sick. I'm definitely going to check it out.
To anyone that has the iPhone, but just because that's all I know it's on right now, it's called Delta, the Delta emulator. Download it. It's fantastic. And it's so much fun.
All right, so before Andy like starts coughing up something, God knows what, we're going to let Ant play us out. So again, y'all, we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Please stay safe. Be good. Wash your hands. Do what you need to feel good. Play them games. Watch Fallout so you can talk about it with us.
Oh, please watch Fallout. And if there is anyone that listens to us that has seen the first episode, we're just going to say the first episode for now because I don't want anyone to ruin it for me because I haven't seen the second one yet. If you have seen it, hit us up on Twitter anywhere and let us know what you thought about it.
Yes. And before we go, I do want to say this.
I was just getting ready to
motherfucking package
as
because I went ahead and I joined a Kickstarter for one of my boys, Alex Osborne. He's Alex from What's Your Spaghetti Policy podcast. He literally created this comic.
Polar
Destroyer. And
did you get any signed copies?
Oh yeah,
I got both of mine signed.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and I also have the digital. I got the digital on top of all the on top of the physical.
And I don't know because I haven't talked to him about it, but I don't know what his plans are past this. But Alex already knows immediately. Sleeves, frames, put to the side.
Hell yeah!
Because you never know. You never know.
I will put a link up if anybody wants to get this comic. I will say that it is a fantastic comic. It is so good. The art looks amazing.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and that is coming from someone who doesn't read comics at all. And I enjoyed it very much. And the art was ridiculous.
Yeah, so I will drop that in the show notes. I will also drop in the show notes the episode that we just released on Team Clock, a Nat 1 D&D adventure. I just played for Andy what happened at the 42-minute mark on because we get caught up in some quite funny hilarity there. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny. I didn't even get to play for you the part where I started singing about cheese.
Just blew my mind. Where's Anthony at?
Glorious. It's a glorious day today, and it's Saturday, and we're going to connect with CGC. You can find us at consolegamingcrew.com. You can find us at our email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle, by the way, is @consolecrew. YouTube and Instagram are both consolegamingcrew. If you check us out, check out Boss Rush Network, which is bossrush.net. Great place. There's lots of things you can find there aside from us. Great people. By the way, Twitch should be returning at some point. It is CGC Podcast. We have co-op Mondays, and we're going to do something fancy for Fridays. I don't know yet. But that's where you can find us. And I hope you all have a wonderful day.
This was a show from
Duck Shows Old Maybe Productions.